comparing the patient's ongoing behavior with our TAQ interviews, provided some answers. The patients who remained self-destructive had told us that they did not remember feeling safe with anybody as a child. They had reported being abandoned, shuttled from place to place, and generally left to their own devices. I concluded that if you carry a memory of having felt safe with somebody long ago, the traces of that earlier affection can be reactivated in attuned relationships when you are an adult, whether these occur in daily life or in good therapy. However, if you lack a deep memory of feeling loved and safe, the receptors in the brain that respond to human kindness may simply fail to develop. If that's the case, how can people learn to calm themselves down and feel grounded in their bodies? Again, this has important implications for therapy, and I'll return to this question throughout Part 5 on treatment. The power of diagnosis. Our study also confirmed that there was a traumatized population quite distinct from the combat soldiers and accident victims for whom the PTSD diagnosis had been created. People like Marilyn and Kathy, as well as the patients Judy and I had studied, and the kids in the outpatient clinic at MMHC that I described in Chapter 7, don't necessarily remember their traumas, one of the criteria for the PTSD diagnosis, or at least are not preoccupied with specific memories of their abuse, but they continue to behave as if they were still in danger. They go from one extreme to the other. They have trouble staying on task, and they continually lash out against themselves and others. To some degree, their problems do overlap with those of combat soldiers, but they are also very different in that their childhood trauma has prevented them from developing some of the mental capacities that adult soldiers possessed before their traumas occurred. After we realized this, a group of us went to see Robert Spitzer, who, after having guided the development of the DSM-3, was in the process of revising the manual. He listened carefully to what we told him. He told us it was likely that clinicians who spend their days treating a particular patient population are likely to develop considerable expertise in understanding what ails them. He suggested that we do a study, a so-called field trial, to compare the problems of different groups of traumatized individuals. Spitzer put me in charge of the project. First, we developed a rating scale that incorporated all the different trauma symptoms that had been reported in the scientific literature. Then, we interviewed 525 adult patients at 5 sites around the country to see if particular populations suffered from different constellations of problems. Our populations fell into 3 groups: those with histories of childhood physical or sexual abuse by caregivers, recent victims of domestic violence, and people who had recently been through a natural disaster.